Matthew chapter 14, we're continuing our study in the series Desiring God. Now, well, the last couple of weeks, we were seeking things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Now today we turn our attention just a little bit. We're still seeking things above, but now we're desiring God through prayer. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 is our basis scripture for the next 2 weeks, or next few weeks. Pray without ceasing. Now that word, that phrase, pray without ceasing, understand it doesn't mean that you're always praying so that you never have an opportunity to live life. It actually literally means to continually pray or be consistent about prayer. We might say it like this: every believer should have a solid, consistent prayer life. Every believer, right? We should all be prayer warriors. Now this morning we're going to focus on prayer, and we're going to be in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Would you stand with me? And would you please turn in your Bibles? We're still no longer putting it on the screen so that we can look to our Bibles ourselves and hear from God. Verse 4, or chapter 14, book of Matthew, verse 22. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples to get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we approach your throne of grace once again. Our prayer this morning is that your will be done, whatever that is in the life of every individual here. I pray your will be done, whatever it takes. Father, I pray your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. It's been said that prayer cannot be taught. It must be done. I want you to understand today and the next few weeks, I'm not going to teach you how to pray. I cannot teach you how to pray. I can just give you suggestions that will aid in your prayer life. I give you foundations that you can build a prayer life. But if you do not apply what I'm going to give you, you will not have a solid prayer life. Okay? So, the design of these messages, make no mistake, is to change your life. More specifically, to change your prayer life. And we start with Jesus as our classic example. If anybody knew how to pray, it would have been Jesus, the Son of God, right? And so, as we look here, that's what simply happened. We start. Number one, first thing I want you to get is to be alone. Be alone. Jesus has just fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. I can only imagine the buzz that was in the multitude right after Jesus had finished that feat, that great miracle. I can imagine the disciples, as they said, yeah, Jesus, boy, you did good. Man, you did a great job. It was awesome how you took those 5 loaves and 2 fish and made it go through 5,000 people. That was awesome, Jesus. And I can see the crowd as they pat Jesus on the back. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We were getting so hungry. We would have never made it back home had you not performed such a great miracle. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But look at Jesus' response. Said, he made his disciples get in the boat and go to the other side. Now, I want you to understand that word made, it's just what it says, right? It's kind of a strong word. It means to force. It means to strongly urge. While the disciples are around Jesus saying, "Wow, Jesus, that was awesome." Jesus looks at them and says, "Okay, boys, get in the boat. Get in the boat. You're going to the other side." But Jesus, we want to hang. Get in the boat. But Jesus, get in the boat. Go to the other side. The multitudes. He didn't stop with the disciples. He moved on to the crowd, the 5,000 plus people that would have been patting him on the back, saying, "Good job, thank you, Jesus." He said, "Okay, guys." It says he sent them away. That word "sent" is also a strong word. It's the same New Testament word used for divorce. It means to get rid of, get out, right? He sent the multitudes away. That's a little bit rude of Jesus, wasn't it? "All right, guys, I just did something great for you. Now get out of here. I need to be alone," right? No, that's not rude. And I don't think Jesus was being rude when he did this. But see, here's the problem. Jesus had a problem. The problem that Jesus had was there was never a convenient time for him to pray. Because someone always needed something. Always. If Jesus had had a cell phone, it would have never stopped ringing. And it would not have been robo marketing calls either. It would have been, "Jesus, I met a blind man, can you come? Jesus, I met a lame man, can you come? Jesus, there's a multitude that needs feeding, can you come?" Jesus didn't have a cell phone, we know that, praise God. But can you imagine the demands made upon the Son of God as He walked on this earth? And the problem, of course, was there would have been no time for anything else. But Jesus made the time. Right? He made the time. So the first lesson we're going to gain from what we just read is, folks, we're just running too fast. Okay? We are running too fast and we think we can't afford to stop. Have you ever been driving in the Ozarks or any mountains, and you're going downhill and you see this runaway truck zone where if their brakes fail, they pull over and they hit that gravel spot and it'll stop them? You know, we're like that big truck that's barreling downhill. We're going at full speed. Everything's okay right now, but at the bottom of a hill, there's a corner. Right now we're doing 60, 70, 80, and we're fine as long as it's straight. But at the bottom of the hill, there's a corner. So, somebody's either going to have to slow down or they're going to crash. I look at the people, and especially young adults today, and I don't mean this to cast stones at our young adults, but I've never seen such busy people. I love you. Okay? And like I say, I'm not trying to beat you down. But you're so busy. Kids activity. I know parents that work all day. They get off work and then it's time to ferry the kids from cheer to basketball to football to every other thing. And they don't get home until like 9 o'clock at night. Just in time to scarf something down, go to bed and get up tomorrow morning and start all over. If it's not kids' activity, it's work demands. I know people who work an enormous amount of hours because they think they have to. So much so that they don't have time for anything else. I know people that are just completely caught up in social activities. You know, we got to be social and we got to be part of every club in town. And we just got to fill our life with... No. Here's the deal. Our culture is that big truck running downhill, 60, 70, 80, 90, faster, faster, faster we go. And at the bottom of the hill, there's a curve. Here's what happens. If you never take that time to stop and be alone with God, what happens is you get to that curve and you can't take the curve. And a crash occurs. A crash. So, How do I prevent that? I see so many parents that are just worn to a frazzle, you know. There you go. Brother Doug, how do I prevent that? I'm glad you asked. I want to tell you about God. God does not want to be squeezed into your busy schedule. Okay? I want to say that one more time. God does not want to be squeezed into your busy schedule. He expects and wants to be the priority in your life, right? And it's not just out activities out there. Churches are the world's worst. We will spend your time just as quick as you can give it, right? I want to tell you this. Please listen. If you're going to have a productive prayer life, you're going to have to do the hard things. Here's the hard things I'm talking about. You've got to be able to tell people no. I want to say that one more time. You must be able to tell people no. Because people will gladly spend your time for you and not think about it. As a young pastor, I used to believe that the busier I was, the better pastor I was. The more hospital visits I made, the closer I would be to God. And so as a result of that, most of the time, Monday through Friday, I was on the run. Then came Saturday and I was like, oh my goodness, tomorrow's Sunday. I've got to preach. And Saturday was a panic, and oftentimes way up in the late Saturday night, 11, 12, 1 o'clock, I'd stay up cramming so I could be ready to preach on Sunday morning. I've discovered busy does not mean you're close to God. It just means you're busy. And you can be too busy so that even pastors are not close to God. You can be busy serving God and not be close to God. I want to tell you this. Closeness with God only comes one way. And that's time with God alone. Right? That's time where you have told the world, all right, I love you, but get out. That's time when you have told your kids, okay, I love you, but you go into your room and take a nap and don't you come out till I come get you. There are times you have to say to your friends, no, I've been on the go all week and I need time. So first thing I want to do for you today is I want to give you permission to say no. Okay? And Brother Doug, you don't have to give me permission. I know I don't, but if I don't, you won't. It's okay to say no. As a matter of fact, it's needful for you to say no sometime. You don't have to be involved. Your kids don't have to be involved in everything so that you don't have enough time to cultivate your relationship with God in prayer. Second thing you got to be. You got to be quiet. Okay? You got to have a quiet atmosphere. Notice in verse 23, Jesus was by himself and he was alone there. You know why he got rid of people? Because people are a distraction. I love people. Right? You got to get rid of the distractions. If you're going to have a prayer life, you must get rid of the distractions. Right? That means turn your cell phone off. Oh my. Brother Doug, I just break out in a cold sweat if I turn my cell phone off. Turn it off. We have become so programmed. That if we misplace our cell phone for 5 minutes, we're in a panic. It's because we're addicted. We're addicted. Most of the time when I remember in the morning, from 8 to 10, my phone goes on do not disturb. Because that's my God time every day. Just me and God. Quiet time. Talk time. Prayer time. And the most rude thing to me is when I'm trying to be alone and talk to somebody and that silly cell phone rings. And so, you know, I counsel with people a lot and I forget to turn my phone off and it rings and I look at, I'm sorry. I say, I'm sorry. This is God. I got to get rid of the noise. If you're at home, turn off the TV. Dismiss the people. Whether it's friends, family. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. Turn there, please. When Jesus was telling people how to pray, verse 6 gives us a key ingredient. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Go into your room. I think the King James says closet. But go into that private room and close the door. Why close the door? Because you're shutting everyone, everything out. And this is your and God's time. Right? And until we learn to do that, my friends, our prayer is going to be nothing more than a Lord bless us, save the lost, help the church, and Father, help the sick, and amen. That's not a prayer life. That's not a prayer life. First, we build that quiet atmosphere. Second, we build a quiet mind. Here's the hard part. You ever start to pray and your mind goes, it can't stop. It's running in every direction and you're thinking everything except thinking about talking to God. You've got to quiet your mind. And it starts with this. And most Christians need this, right? You have to understand, number one, you do not have to dominate the conversation. I'm going to say that again. You do not have to dominate the conversation. So many people come to me and say, well, Brother Doug, I just don't know what to say when I pray. Good. Just be quiet. Have you ever known someone that wouldn't shut up? After about 10, 20, 30 minutes, you're sitting there and your ears are about to fall off because they don't know when to stop. And you think back and they've usually told you nothing that means anything. And when they leave, you're like, oh, I'm glad they're gone. I can't listen anymore. That's the prayer life of most Christians. Honestly, it is. Oh, Lord, bless the church. Oh, Lord, bless my family. Oh, Lord, and the sick folks. We're real good about praying for sick folks. bless our hearts. We will pray for the cousin of an uncle who has a friend, who has a neighbor who has a friend, and they're suffering because they're dealing with whatever. No, that's not a prayer life. We don't understand what prayer is for. Prayer is for your communication, your personal communication with God. Listen, I love you. If you come to me and say, "Brother Doug, I'm having surgery, pray for me," I'll pray for you. But if you come to me and say, "Brother Doug, met this guy at Walmart who knows somebody who has a cousin, who has an uncle, who's going through whatever, he's battling cancer right now," I'm not praying for that. Number one, because it's too far down the line and I have no connection there. And if I have no connection there, it's hard for me to have a heart there. I'm not saying those people don't need prayed for. I'm saying it's out of my realm. Right? Prayer is more than praying about health. Prayer is communing with God. See, that's what... And again, Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. If your prayer life is all about sick, it's the same thing over and over and over. No, you don't get... Prayer is not your Santa Claus list presented to Jesus. It's not. What am I saying? I'm saying try to spend more time listening than talking. What you have to say is not more important than what God has to say. And it will amaze you if you learn to hush and just listen. What God will say. Brother Doug, I listened for 10 minutes. He didn't say anything. Keep listening. Brother Doug, I listened for 15 minutes. He didn't say anything. Keep listening. Just learn how to listen. God is not Santa Claus. God is a God of relationship. He wants to know your heart. He wants to know what's going on in your life. He wants to know you. He does know you. But He wants you to know Him. And remember, prayer is not us trying to get our will done in heaven, but God's will done on earth. We'll talk more about that tonight. I'd encourage you to be here tonight because I'm going to give you some great stepping stones to start building your prayer life, okay? But you understand this. We just have to learn how to be quiet. And until we learn how to be quiet, we're not going to be very strong in our prayer life. Third thing, got to learn how to be determined. It says, Jesus went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. He set up that alone time with a determined spirit. I'm going to pray. That's what it was all about. I'm going to pray. He was determined to pray. And that's what He did. You know, here's the problem. Again, sometimes I don't feel like praying. Have you ever started praying and you just think, I really don't feel like praying? Let's be honest. I'm a preacher. It's happened to me more than I'd like to admit. You ever start praying and it seems like nobody's listening? Have you? Been there. Lord, I'm praying. Lord, I'm praying. Listen. Seems like nobody's listening. And of course, like we said a while ago, that mind just goes a thousand different directions. Brother Doug, that happens to me all the time. How do I stop it? Are you ready? Are you ready? I'm going to tell you how. A.W. Tozer said the way you combat such things as that is you pray until you pray. I'm going to let that sink in. It's probably the most important thing I've said today. Pray until you pray. If you can say amen and get up from your prayer time or get off your knees, and there's nothing there, you didn't pray enough. It may take 2 minutes, and it may take 20 minutes, and it may take 2 hours. But pray until you pray. I want to tell you what happens. Never put God on a clock. Okay? Never say, okay, I'm going to pray for an hour. Don't do that. Because what you're going to do is you're going to look at your watch. Oh, it's only been 10 minutes. No. Set your watch down. Remember, God's on eternal time, which there is no such thing as time in eternity. Set your watch down. Turn your cell phones off. And talk to God. I mean, talk to God. Just like you talk to someone. Again, I repeat one of the things I said last week. You know, I love the scriptures where it talks about God speaking to Moses as a man talks to his friend. I love the scriptures where it says David was a man after God's own heart. I love those scriptures where God communed and fellowshipped. And you know, the deeper I get into this study, the more I want to have that experience. We settle for a shallow surface. Lord bless us, bless them. Here we go, amen, type prayer life. Do you think that's what Jesus did? I don't. As a matter of fact, scripture we're going to refer to tonight is when he's in the garden. He prayed with such passion that he literally sweat drops of blood. Now that's a passion in prayer. Is that your prayer? Can you be that intimate with God? I'll tell you what, you will not be that intimate with God if all you do is say, Lord, bless this food to the nourishment of our bodies and our bodies to your service. Amen. If that's your prayer life, you're missing it. First question we got to ask, how's my prayer life? I can't answer that question for you. You can't answer that question for me. But you've got to answer that question, how is my prayer life? And I'm going to venture to say that every one of us could say, I could do a lot better. Okay? So here's question number two. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? I do believe prayer is the most powerful tool that a Christian has. But we never get out the toolbox. We've got to use it. We've got to have a prayer life. How's your prayer life? What are you going to do about it? Now we're going to come to a part of an invitation. And I'm going to invite you. Let's start to work today. Let's work right here, right now. Lord, I want to build my prayer life. I want communion and fellowship with you, Lord. I want to know when I bow my head that I've been in your presence. I want to experience your presence. Lord, I no longer want to settle for this half-hearted Christianity that runs rampant throughout our culture. Lord, I want to experience you. I want to desire you. It starts on your knees. we're going to do like we've been doing for the last few weeks. We're going to have a couple of songs. These will be our closing songs, but I want you to understand why we're singing. This is your opportunity to join in song, or this is your opportunity to do business with God. The altars are open. Will you respond? I want to tell you, if you are here and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, understand this. Heaven is real. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And you will spend eternity in one of two places, heaven or hell. And it's based upon the choice you make as to what you're going to do with Jesus. Jesus gave His life. He died upon Calvary because you're a sinner. Just like the rest of us, all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. The good news is Jesus loved you so much He gave His life to pay your sin debt. And He offers His forgiveness, His salvation to whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you can walk out of here a child of God today. But it all is a matter of what you're going to do with Jesus. Will you come to Jesus today? Our Father in heaven, during this time of invitation, this time of song, I just pray Your will be done. You know the lives, the prayer lives of everyone present here. And You know how we have been very shallow at times. Father, we want to grow in our relationship with You and deepen our relationship with You. And we know it starts by communicating with You. And so this morning, I pray that You would convict of sin, that You would draw men to You, and that Your will would be done in this service. Not our will, but Yours be done, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.